Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's MJ. I am here. Corinne is not, but we're going to talk about shitty thoughts about planning. What is Corinne doing, might you ask? She is in Nashville. She brought in our amazing Yasmin, our content creator. They are working on the brand new No BS that is going to release in January, and it is going to be fire. And also, we are totally tearing down handling the holidays this year. It is going to be brand spanking new. Brand new. We've done the old one for several years, but just like, Corinne learned shit. And so we're like totally going to tear it down and build it back up. So it's going to be exciting. So you get a twofer today. You get me and Lizzie. Coach Mish is also here. You got all the coaches in here. Hello. Coach Mish will be here as well. She will be in the chat and in the Q&A answering all of your questions. I have the creator and designer of your of this month's focus, this amazing resource that Lizzie has created for us. I have her here with me today, and we are going to have a conversation all about shitty thoughts we have about planning. But first, now I feel like Corinne. I got to give some announcement. Because and I actually have my notes pulled up. Corinne always says, I don't have my notes pulled up. I do, so you're welcome. If you are here for the first time, after your first 30 days, welcome, welcome, welcome. Usually Corinne does this call, but it is me today because she is working, creating amazing things for us. This is the third week of the new monthly focus, Meal Planning Made Easy. You'll be getting tons of done-for-you plans, recipes in this new ultimate guide to meal planning. So if you want it, you can download it to your digital device. I like printed copies, so I printed it, but you can get it on nobswoman.com under this month in No BS. So make sure that you get that. If you have not already, you can download it, or you can print it, like I said. Camp is this weekend. We are still shipping swag. We have got virtual tickets still available. And if you get over there now, magic can happen. We are still shipping swag. So, make sure that you get over there and check it out. It's going to be amazing. So this month we are using, the This Month in No BS homepage, as well as this meal planning guide. So this week we're talking about shitty thoughts about planning, and next week we're gonna talk about meal planning like a boss, like a boss. And then the week after that, we're gonna level up planning. So we've been talking about all the issues. Now we're gonna come out the other side at the end of the month, meal planning like a boss and leveling up. So let's get after it. Welcome, Lizzie.
Thank you, MJ. It's so great to be here today.
Yes, we are going to talk about some of the thoughts that we took, like the most common thoughts about planning. What people we hear them say all the time. There are more in your guide. And so we kind of walk you through how to change a thought. But I was thinking this morning, because like Corinne, I think when I shower, and like this year we planted a small garden and there were peppers and stuff. But I was thinking, like, these thoughts that we're going to offer you to kind of switch your thoughts. It's like when my husband came in and said, let's plant some peppers. So that was the thought that he gave me. Then I had to make a plan about the peppers. I had to decide what kind of peppers. I had to keep it front of mind. I had to go get the seeds for the peppers. Then I had to go dig a hole. I didn't. I'm saying me. He had to go dig a hole. I didn't do shit. He dug a hole. And then between the two of us, we nurtured it. We watered it. We had to think about it every single day and go out there and make sure there weren't any weeds. And we had to watch it grow. And then at one point, it wasn't working because the deer were eating them. And so we had to get some wire and put up around it. So we had to make a pivot. And so we're offering you these thoughts, and that's great. Just like I had the seeds offered to me, or my husband did. But without us thinking about it every day and intentionally going out there and checking them, we were never going to get peppers. And so I always talk about things need to be in the front of your mind. So if planning, if you have shitty thoughts about planning and we're offering you these thoughts, how are you going to remember to practice these thoughts every single day? Just like how are we going to remember to go out there every day and water the peppers and pull the weeds and do all that other stuff? Because it's great whenever we're like, you know, we give you these little thoughts, but if you don't keep bringing them up, I'd never planted peppers before. My brain wasn't like, MJ, remember, you need to go check those peppers. Just like when you've had shitty thoughts about planning for a long time and we give you these new amazing thoughts, your brain isn't just going to tap you on the ear and be like, hey, remember, we're supposed to think this instead. And so a lot of it is about being intentional with these thoughts. We can carry you a certain place, but then you need to insert it in your life. You need to write them down every day. You maybe on your planner, you just have a sticky note that reminds you of what you want to think so that it can become easier. And then your brain does start to offer up some of these thoughts and then you just keep these suggestions close at hand. So when you don't want to plan, we've got suggestions about things you could do to make planning easier, but you're going to have to keep this amazing guide with you so that you can practice all of that. What say you, Lizzie?
I love that analogy of the peppers and planting it and, you know, like doing it on purpose. And one of the things that I love to say is whatever you're looking for, you'll find it.
Yeah.
So be really intentional and purposeful about what you're looking for. And, you know, we've heard Corinne talk all the time about like our default setting, our brains are working properly when it finds a problem, when it looks for what's wrong. And so if you want to have a positive thought, a constructive, proactive thought, you got to do it on purpose. And I mean, you mentioned writing it in your plan every day. I keep a note in my pocket because I know, like, left to its own devices, my brain's going to find all the problems, all the shitty thoughts. Yeah. And so I, every day, like for the last 3 years, have had a different note in my pocket that I just kind of rotate through to be like, where am I directing my thoughts on purpose today? And it does get easier over time, but like the problem is not having negative thoughts.
Yes.
You're going to have them. That's a mm-hmm. given. They're there. It's just like in the garden analogy, you're going to have weeds. It is not a flaw of MJ and her husband as the gardeners that they're weeds. It's like, that's nature. It's normal that we have negative thoughts, but if you're going to have a, you know, successful peppers, a good looking garden, you got to tend it. You got to nurture it. You got to pull those weeds. You got to listen to your negative thoughts and be like, oh, I see you. Let's pivot towards something else.
Yeah. And not making them a problem, right? Like realizing that they're normal and they're just going to be offered up.
Yeah.
I always tell the story of like, I lost my mom. I was in maintenance. And one day before my feet hit the floor, like I was like literally getting out of the bed to go. And it was a Friday and I was weighing on Friday. And I, before my feet hit the floor, I was like, well, time to go weigh. See how fat you are today. And I was like, well, hello, you. I have not seen you in a while. Where have you been hiding now? Like, it was not like, oh my God, it's all coming back. It was like, well, dang, I didn't expect to find you here today. And then I just got up and like went about my day. It's not a problem that my brain said that to me. Mm-hmm. It's how I used to talk to myself. So it was like a throwback. It was like, here, visit your old friend, shitty thought. And I'm like, oh, hello. You just have those thoughts.
Yeah.
I didn't expect you here today. So let's talk through a few of the ones that we see really a lot. We see them a ton inside of the membership. And so this is in part three of the planning guide. The first one we want to talk about is I'm afraid to plan. Why do you think people are afraid to plan, Lizzie?
It could be any number of reasons. I think one of the most common ones is planning feels like a diet. It just brings back all those thoughts about Weight Watchers or whatever it was that I did in the past. And when I make a plan, it's almost like, okay, sure, I'm not necessarily following the Weight Watchers diet plan, but I'm the one now making myself be on a diet. And so making a plan can really bring back a lot of those old diet trauma type thoughts.
And I think too, judgment, right? Like I can't lose weight because we've done those diets for so long. It's like, if I plan these things, there's no way I can lose weight.
Right.
So I may as well not. I mean, that's a different, it's still, we talk about that in the meal planning guide, like that particular flavor of it. But I feel like I'm afraid to plan. Like, it's like, I'm afraid I'm going to have these feelings of restrictions. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to lose weight writing these things down. So you have like all these different thoughts that bring up this fear feeling around planning. It's like different flavors of the same, thought, right?
Yeah.
And so, one thing that we suggest in the guide is to make them smaller. Remember, this is your plan. Everybody's coming here at a different place, right? Like everybody's got a different life. Everybody's got a different schedule. Everybody's got past diets that they're trying to work through. And so you're all coming here to planning, to this place of planning at different places. And so the way that I plan, the way that Lizzie plans, Kathy did a live the other day about how she kind of does the weekly plan. And then she just kind of plugs and plays the rest of the weekend. I mean, the rest of the week, that works for her. It may not work for you. And so you could do something as simple as starting with one meal, if that is comfortable for you, right?
Yeah. And I would say, you know, going back to the idea of being, you know, I'm afraid to plan, going with, you know, how normal it is, like weight loss is so personal. It's so identity based that, and we've tried so many times and we've, that feeling of like, I've tried this before and it didn't work for me can hurt. It can be really painful. And so of course you would have those feelings. And so that's why, just as MJ, you're saying, like, make it smaller, make it less, less of like, it's got to be everything. It's, you know, make it less all or nothing and, you know, kind of lighten it up a little bit. And sort of like we were talking about seeing those old shitty thoughts, like recognize that it's just a little weed at this moment. And so if you address it and pluck it and like move it towards like, well, what could I plan today? What might I be in the mood for? And treat it a little bit more lightly. You can pluck that little weed when its roots aren't too big versus like if it's a giant, you know, root that's like climbing in your window and you're like, I can't pull this thing out. I need a chainsaw. So take it in little bits.
Yeah. And then we even talk about in the plan, like if you're afraid you won't want what you plan more than one thing.
Yes.
Give yourself some choices. Whenever I first started in OBS, it was basically my menu for the day. So whenever you go to a restaurant, you have the entire menu. If they don't serve escargot, you can't really order escargot because they don't have it, but there's plenty of other things to choose from. And so when I looked at it that way, it's like, this is my menu for the day and I can have anything on this menu. And I gave myself plenty of choices. When you go in with that mindset that I can have anything on this list today, this is the list that I made thinking about my goals and thinking about weight loss. And I can have, you can plug and play. You can eat dinner for breakfast. You can have your afternoon snack in the morning. You can move it around. You do not like breakfast. Well, you know, I'm not really hungry for breakfast, but I sure would like that bagel for lunch. Eat the bagel for lunch. Yeah.
One of the things that was coming up recently in one of my client conversations was somebody planned something she thought like, I'm supposed to eat this, but I really wanted that. And she actually was like going out to lunch with some friends. And so she planned the thing that she was like sort of subtly telling herself, I'm supposed to have the salad, or I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I'm supposed to have this. And she really wanted that. And when she got home, she was disappointed and ended up eating more when she got home because she didn't actually eat what she wanted. And so I, you know, that's kind of goes back to the idea of like, when you make a plan, you get to plan what you want, like honor your, what you want. You get to eat what you want and you get to stop it enough and enjoy it rather than telling yourself, I'm supposed to do this. I have to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. And then like I talked about with Kathy, if you have a really hard time finding time, you know, make out your menu on the weekend. And then just pull from that menu all weekend, all week long. You don't have to plan it. Planning is about thinking about your weight loss, thinking about your goals and making decisions ahead of time. And then I even heard Corinne say like last week, if you're a teacher or you work in a school or you're a nurse and whatever, and you get that, you know, for a fact that you get that middle of the day break, you can do it. You can do it then. You can plan middle of the day and plan your lunch, dinner, and breakfast. Nobody says it has to be morning or evening. It's like, when does it work for you? Which I love that. I was like, I don't know that I didn't even think about planning like middle of the day. I mean, it was never a thing for me, but I was like, oh, I guess you could. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just do it whenever it works for you.
Yeah. And so, MJ, one of the things that we saw in Facebook is like, sometimes people say like, I like being spontaneous and planning stops me from doing like what I want, what I feel like in the moment. How mm-hmm. would you respond to that kind of thought?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm a spontaneous one too. I am also one that follows the spirit of the plan. If I go, like if they don't have the same thing and my friend called me and wanted me to go somewhere, pretty much everywhere you go, you can go out and still honor what you planned. It does not stop you. Just because you planned a salad and chicken at home does not mean that you cannot go have a chicken and salad somewhere else. You totally can still go, right? Like, you know, Corinne's famous for saying, I love spontaneity, but I would love to spontaneously be in the dressing room of Target and fit inside a smaller pair of pants. Like, it is very true. And for a lot of us, we want to be spontaneous, but the truth is, we know if you know that you live in a town and you always get the same thing everywhere, we're not as spontaneous as we think we are. When I go to certain restaurants, I get the same damn thing. I'm not ordering something new every time. We know where we're going to go. What do you think about spontaneity?
I completely agree. And one of the best things about no BS is like, you can make your choices and like your reasons. So for example, occasionally, you know, I have Fridays off. And so my husband will occasionally take the day off and he will spontaneously say, hey, you want to go to lunch? Yeah. And that was not on my plan. But I'm like, okay, let's do that. So we go out to lunch and I might choose to eat something completely different than what I had planned at home, but I can make a proactive choice and like my reasons. And that might then make me decide, okay, what I thought I was going to eat for dinner is now shifted because I had a bigger lunch, and that's okay. Like you can adjust midstream. And just because he says, hey, do you want to go to lunch? That doesn't mean like, oh, he is sabotaging my efforts. And of course I have to get the burger and fries while I'm there because like, it's what you do. I'm like, no, I can choose to have the fish tacos, maybe with fries, maybe with, you know, a side salad. It depends on how I feel. I can be spontaneous and like my reasons.
Yeah. I love that so much. And yeah, because sometimes you don't, you know, eat what you planned and it's okay. Like my daughter was here from California this past weekend. She didn't tell me where she wanted to go. Girl, wherever she wanted to go, guess what? I was going to go there. I was going to go. She's not home very often. I love my reasons.
Yeah.
So it just, and we were the weekend before, we were supposed to go one place. I had looked at the menu actually because it was planned. We couldn't get in. We made a total pivot and I went off my plan. I always used to tell people when I was private coaching, just because you check a box or don't check a box, especially when it comes to planning, as long as you know it's not a habit or a pattern or whatever, that is not where you win weight loss. That is not where weight is lost by checking a box on a habit tracker. Weight is lost from making conscious decisions, making decisions ahead of time, and following doable hunger. That is where you lose weight, not because you got 100% on your checking your boxes on I followed my plan.
You know, it's interesting thinking about this idea of being spontaneous. I was talking to a client yesterday, and I think one of the mindset shifts that helped me go from identifying as a dieter to identifying as a normal eater was realizing that kind of like, I take me wherever I go. You know, when I was a dieter, it was like, if my husband said, hey, let's go out to lunch, it was like, ooh, this is now off the diet. And I'm like a totally different person. Whereas, you know, same thing, like if you go on vacation, like calories don't count on vacation. What helped me shift to, again, kind of identifying as a normal eater was realizing that like, if I go to a restaurant, it's still my stomach. It's still my body. I get to enjoy, you know, both the enjoyment of the meal, but also the repercussions, good or bad, after. Same thing with vacation. And so it's like, how do I want, like, what do I want in the moment? As Corinne talks about, like, the party in my mouth, like, what do I want to enjoy the taste of? But also, how do I want to feel tonight? How do I want to feel tomorrow? And just because I'm going out to lunch instead of having lunch at home, or just because I'm on vacation instead of at home, I still am living in my body and I get to choose how I want to feel based on what I eat.
That is so true. And I think too, like if you, we do this with handling the holidays. I think this is my favorite part of handling the holidays is when you get the calendar and you like plug in all of your special things. Like you think it's so busy and you think it's so crazy and you think like all this food just comes in and like your last minute out to eat and stuff. But when you really put it down on a calendar over the course of the couple of months, it's really not that often. And so I was not overweight because my daughter came home from California like she does twice a year and I ate off plan. Like that was never my issue. We are not as spontaneous as often as we think we are either. If you really look at like how often do you, does your husband just pop up and say, even if it was every other Friday, you're talking about 3 meals times 7 days is like 21 meals times four, you know, is, you know, 84 meals. Two of them you went off plan to go out to lunch with your husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you make it be a big deal, but there are so many other opportunities, you know, within the month, within the week even.
I love that point. Just like you said, like with handling the holidays, when you look at like how many meals do I have actually within my control, then it stops being like, oh, I just can never make a plan. And you're like,
well, it's me.
I could plan for like 93% of these meals.
No, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote in the Q&A, I think this is a really good point about, you know, like we're offering meal plans and some people know what they want to eat. What we see in No BS is a lot of judgment. I shouldn't eat those things. You can't lose weight and eat carbs. You can't lose weight and eat fat. You can't lose weight and eat pasta. You can't lose weight and eat like a taco because it's got carbs and it's a hot mess. And then you put fat on it and all that kind of stuff. So what we find is people write super restrictive plans because they go back to their shoulds, what should work for weight loss. What this guy did, it gave everybody some much needed thought switches for sure. Some different strategies. If you're struggling with any part of planning, if you want to be a food prepper, which some of you don't, just skip that section. And then some folks need permission to plan things that maybe they think are bad or you can't lose weight with. Mm-hmm. And so this food guide is like everything else in No BS. It is available to everybody, but it is not for everybody. And if you're like, girl, I'm good at planning. I've been a food prepper from way back. I've got the glass like containers. I've got my, you know, salad bar in the fridge. I cook on Sunday and I don't dirty up my kitchen the rest of the week. That is perfect. But that's not the majority of No BS. And so for any of these like monthly focuses, they're offered to folks. But if you're like, that didn't really apply to me necessarily, like I'm already a food prepper, I'm great at the four basics, then, you know, maybe you and your accountability group that month go take the relationships course, or maybe you take self-love or whatever it is. And so every tool that we give you in No BS is something that we've seen a need for, but it's not required and it's not, it may not be for everybody. And so you just come to these Wednesday calls, you take the tidbits and the nuggets that you love, and then you and your group, or you, you know, you, if you don't have a group, just go do things and be amazing. See where you do need to level up in your No BS journey. And then you take those things.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. You talk about the part of like the meal guide plan that we've put in the end. That was actually one of the hardest parts for me to create because A, I'm a really boring eater. But B, it reminded me of some of the diets and so forth I've done in the past. And so the way that I plan is basically I just plan dinner because breakfast and lunch is mostly the same, except when my husband invites me out. But like I plan dinners for 5 or 6 nights of the week because I don't like making decisions about what to eat. I would rather it just be done. And so, you know, you get to adjust, just like MJ is saying, that like everything is here for you, but you get to choose what you want. And so like, if you want that, like, just eat this, fine, awesome. But you're like, I want to pick and choose. You do you. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And I love all these different recipes, because some of these, like, I get stuck. We eat the same things, y'all. I mean, it's boring over here at the Sharifi house. And so I've been looking through. Once camp is over, I'm going to start planning some of the stuff in this. Because I was like, I used to eat. I've eaten that before. It was so good. I just haven't done it in a while. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to try some of these things as well. Somebody says, so if you can change the things you write on your plan, what's the purpose of writing the plan? I do great until I write it down, then I blow it. What do you want to say about that, Lizzie?
I do great until I write it down. So many interesting questions about that. So I wonder if there's like a voice in your head saying, as soon as I write it down, now I have to. Like, is there an angel and a devil on your shoulder? And so it's, you know, if that is the case, I would say shift it to like, I get to, this is what I'm choosing. And also I can pivot if I like my reasons. I would say, you know, a lot of times people struggle to want to make a plan because they're like, I never follow it. And, you know, we go back to what MJ said a minute ago. It was like, give yourself some options. I'm going to have this or that for lunch.
Yeah.
Give yourself three options. And if every day you find yourself being like, none of these feel good to me, like, then you need to be digging a little deeper and being like, what are you asking the food? What feeling are you asking the food to create for you? Because if you're like, I'm not in the mood for this or for that or that, like, you're looking for a feeling and you're looking for the food to create it for you. So those are some of my thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah. And then also ask yourself, if I was not trying to lose weight, what would I be eating? That's where you want to start.
Amen.
Make sure it's not should food. And the other thing you said is very interesting. So if you write things on your plan, what's the purpose? If you change it, listen, I want everybody to go back to the stages of, phases of change. We are never going to get to 100%. There is, I bet you, there is two or three, I bet like since I've started No BS, there's probably 20 days or 20 weeks total that I have gotten I've never always gotten my, am I hungry? Have I had enough? That's never happened. Water pretty much 100% checks. Sleep, never happened. Planning, like Lizzie said, she writes her plan, and the one time her husband says, let's go out to lunch, and she changes it, that still got her like 98% for the week if she follows it the rest of the time. Life is going to happen. Things are going to happen. I had some fruit on my plan yesterday. It was not good. It just was not good. And so I had a protein bar for a snack. I was off plan. I was hungry. The fruit was not good. I changed my plan. So I'm off plan yesterday, but nothing terrible happened. It's not like I'm stuck with that fruit. Well, it's not good. It's gone bad. So I guess I have to be hungry. No, you want to still eat and make a really good decision for you in that moment. Plans change. Food goes bad. People take your food out of the refrigerator, and the thing you thought you had is no longer in there, and you go in there to get it, and you need to go off plan. This is not about perfection. It's not, never will be, and it can't be. Thank God you don't have to be perfect to lose weight, because I would have never lost weight if that was the case.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, you know, going back to what I said, like, I realized that I take me with me wherever I go, that it, you know, when it became less about getting an A+ on the diet test and more about like, what do I want? What does this body want? It was more like, who cares what the diet says? Like, let's just figure out what I want today. What is enough? What feels good? And if I ate past enough, instead of being like, damn it, I did it again. It's more like, okay, well, that was good to know. Like, lesson learned, information. Tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah. And then someone else asked in the chat, can you talk about the pros and cons of putting specific food quantities on the plan rather than just eating to enough? Just like whenever you're eating to points or eating to calories, if you put specific quantities on your plan, then you either get to it. Like, let's say that you have 3 pieces of pizza on your plan and you get to 2 and you've had enough. Now you may have the conversation up, but I planned 3. Should I just go ahead and eat the three? I think I might be at enough, but I have another piece of pizza. Or if you plan two pieces of pizza and you get there and then you're like, but I'm still hungry, then you have a decision to make. Do you listen to your body and eat another piece, or do you go off plan and stick with the two and be hungry? Once you start putting on your plan, just pizza, and listening to your body, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get pizza and sometimes I eat a piece and sometimes I eat three pieces. It just depends on the day about what my body needs, what is asking for. And so make sure that we are always putting our bodies and our brains first. Now, I will also say this. As I was trying to, I used to eat sweet things every night. And so I started leveling that up as I lost weight. So I did end up on my thing putting two squares of dark chocolate, because if not, I would have eaten the whole chocolate bar. It was a habit I was working on. So sometimes I do think that an amount is good, but especially with food, like maybe you're used to eating an entire sleeve of Oreos. That's your snack every night. Maybe you do want to put a half a sleeve of Oreo because you're working on that Oreo habit. That is great. But as far as meals are concerned, I don't put a whole sandwich versus a half a sandwich or, you know, 12 chips. I just write chips and a sandwich.
It's interesting. I fully agree with what you're saying in terms of like, listen to your body. And there's nuance. Like there's not like a right or a wrong way to do it that, mm-hmm. you know, some days you want one piece of pizza, some days you want three. Same thing with the sleeve of Oreos. Like I have found if there is a specific food or a specific meal in which I'm trying to experiment with and dial down on or dial in, I can target a certain amount. And inevitably it brings up restriction. Like, oh, I only get this much. And that again is not a problem. That's a weed. I notice that thought and I'm like, okay, I get to have as much as I want, as long as I'm still hungry for it. And so I shift, I pivot, I notice that negative thought of like, I only get to have, and like, I can choose to have what I want. I am choosing to aim for a half a sleeve of Oreos to just see how I feel. Mm-hmm. And also maybe I'm like practicing allowing urges, because I can say I'm not usually hungry for a full sleeve of Oreos. And, you know, I can know that about myself. So if I'm going to aim for a half a sleeve of Oreos and then just sit with the urge, maybe I'm going to sit with that urge for 30 seconds, for a minute or whatever. I'm just going to practice sort of like lifting a weight. Yeah. Like, you know, it's heavy, but the more you lift it, like, it's not like it gets lighter. It's that you get stronger.
Yeah. I love that so much. And yeah, whenever I'm working on decreasing something or changing my habit around something, I do love planning. I love that idea of planning quantities.
Mm-hmm.
Barbie said, did I consider myself on plan if I pivot to the protein bar? I said I was not on plan yesterday just because fruit and it didn't feel equal to me. But it didn't matter. It's just one check. I'm still good. I made a good choice. I like my reasons. I didn't want to be feeling nasty. So I got to travel this week. Yeah.
And so it's also, you didn't give yourself a check because it didn't feel like necessarily an equal swap.
No.
But at the same time, you could have swapped out a little bit less dinner later if you wanted to. Like, yeah. Again, it's how does your body feel?
Yeah, exactly. And we used to talk about, like, we were talking about, like, things that you say to yourself. We used to do this right question, right answer. So I want y'all to just take a minute. I'm going to ask a question, and I want y'all to put in the chat your answers. It's going to be a interactive. We're doing interactive. Lizzie doesn't know I'm doing interactive.
This is fun.
Why is it so hard to write and follow a plan? Put your answers in the chat. Make sure you chat to everyone. Why is it so hard to make and follow a plan? Take too long. What else we got? Rebellion, feel obligated to it. It feels like I'm being graded, rebel, because you plan food you don't want, I think it said. Afraid I won't follow. It's the old temper tantrum. Okay, now I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to ask you another question. Are you ready for your next assignment? How can I make planning easy today? How can I make planning easy today? Plan food I love. Just do it. I love that. Give myself choices. Plan what I want to eat. Think, what do I really want? Change my thoughts about it. Tell myself, well, I have my own back. Let's see how much I can plan in 2 minutes. I love that. Make it more open-ended. Plan fast. Be honest with myself. Plan one meal at a time at first and then branch out. Do you see the difference in the answers? When you ask your brain a shitty question, like, why is it so hard? It's going to give you shitty answers. When you start your day with planning, saying, how can I make this easy today? Your brain is like, you could do this and you could do this. And here we go. And let's try this. And maybe this will work. Right question, right answer. So it's not even about the thoughts that your brain offers up. What prompts are you given? It's like, you're like the Chat GPT of yourself. What prompts are you using? Why can I never get this? Why is it so hard? Why do I fail every day? Why in the world can't I follow a plan? Your Chat GPT is going to spit out every single reason. It just will. Your brain loves to answer your questions. It's your own little computer. You put in a prompt, it will give you the answer. Start with a better prompt. How can I make this easy today? What do I really want today in order to follow my plan? What could make today a little bit better than yesterday? Give it a prompt that you really want the answer to. Lizzie, every once in a while I get on a high horse. There it was.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said earlier, whatever you're looking for, you will find it. So be really intentional about what you're looking for. Ask yourself better questions. You get better answers.
Yes. Yeah. Right question, right answer.
So let's take that concept to the idea that, like, okay, MJ, I love no BS, no BS for life. I can plan what I want. Amazing. But I do want to lose weight. And when I plan the foods I love, I don't lose weight. What do I do?
You need to focus on doable hunger. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. You were going to say something. What was it, Lizzie?
I was going to say, all right, so how can we use that, like, right question, right answer, or like choose what you're looking for and adjust it to that concept of, like, I want to plan the foods that I love, but I don't lose weight when I do that. And so you're like, all right, doable hunger. I'm like, eh.
Yeah. I wonder.
What? Yeah.
I wonder what would happen if I ate these foods to enough.
Nice.
I've always overeaten the foods. What happens if I stop at enough? What happens if I wait until I'm hungry? And just get curious about it. Ask yourself.
How about this? What could I tell myself about this food that would make me want to stop it enough?
Oh, I can have it anytime. I'm not restricted anymore.
Yeah. It's not good or bad. It's just food I love.
Yeah. It's just food I love. And I know I can have it again anytime. And I think that is, I mean, I think for a lot of these foods, that is one reason so many of us still overeat them, because we, so long, it was like, we didn't know when we were going to get our favorite food again.
Or it's bad. I'm cheating. It's bad. I was bad.
And
today.
If I ever made pasta or I made anything else, I'm going to tell you, I was a fearful one of, like, I was an overeater on carbs for sure. Cause I had done Atkins more times than Atkins had done Atkins. I had done low carb. I, like, lived the lifestyle. And so every time I would get a carb, I would way overdo it. And so I, on purpose, would go in my planner. If I made it for, let's say I made it for the week, I would intentionally go in and write it down in my planner 3 or 4 times during the week, knowing that it was, and then whenever I was in the meal, I would say, it's already planned. You already wrote it down. You're going to have this again tomorrow or Tuesday or whatever day it was. Mm-hmm. To almost give myself some peace that, no, for real, you already wrote it down. it's coming again. You know when it's coming. You don't have to wait to have it until something special happens. We're going to have special Tuesday.
So Jane wrote in the chat that her thought is, I'm cheating. That thought kind of resonated with her. What would you say to, like, so there's a weed. There's an old shitty thought. Mm-hmm. And how might we pivot that I'm cheating thought?
I'm cheating. In the past, this would be considered cheating. This would not have been on my plan, but mm-hmm. now it is. I just mm-hmm. need to follow doable hunger. Mm-hmm. That's it. And it really is that safety of you can have it now because you've told yourself no for so long.
My favorite is, do I like my reasons? Is this mm-hmm. special? You know, so like from the red velvet rope test, for me, I just ask myself, is this special? Like, is this the homemade, you know, really special thing that's just like, you know, that would be considered cheating? I'm a cookie girl. I love cookies. But because of that, like, I want to make sure they're really good. Like, I'm not going with Chips Ahoy. And so I ask myself, is this cookie special? It's not cheating. Is it special? Yes, no. If it is, do I like my reasons? You know, maybe it's a special occasion. We're celebrating a birthday. Okay, I can have a couple. I can put some in the freezer, you know, or I can say, it's not, you know, these are not the kind I love. Like, I'm going to, if I'm having a, you know, Jones in for a cookie, I'm going to go get myself a good one. And then it's not cheating. It's, I like my reasons.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it is not, and here you go, Lizzie, too. Like, when you're saying I love cookies, I'm going to get in your, like, in your past. Mm-hmm. When you would have cookies before, you would probably have taken any old cookie. They weren't very satisfying because they weren't your favorite cookie. Next thing you know, it's cookie crumbs and Chips Ahoy are all gone. You still want a cookie.
Back to the teacher's lounge. Yeah.
You still want a damn cookie.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, get a good cookie. Eat a cookie.
Yeah.
Plan it. Enjoy it. Don't just grab a cookie and walk around and fold laundry. Like, mm-hmm. sit down and enjoy it. You love it. You should enjoy it.
Yeah. I have a client who has been really working on, like, very intentionally having some of the foods she loves. And sometimes a surprise, like, she went to visit New Orleans, I think, with her family. And her son brought a Girl Scout cookie box. And she realized that, like, she did that sort of thing. Like, she was eating it on the go. And her thing is, I want to maximize my enjoyment of this food. And so it's just been so amazing to watch her be so intentional and proactive. When a special food comes along, she catches those sort of old diety thoughts of, like, get it quickly, get it now. And just be like, how can I maximize my enjoyment of this surprise special food?
Ooh, how can I maximize my enjoyment? I love that. That's really good.
Yeah.
We've already touched on some of the other ones that Corinne gave me notes. Well, Yasmin gave me notes. I never follow my plan. And we sort of talked about that. Dig deeper into the why, aren't you? Like you said, is it like, this is restricting? This isn't really what I want. Like, see what your brain is offering up the minute that you write it down. And then, like I said, make sure it's realistic. It's not a should plan. I should eat these things to lose weight. Make sure that it's realistic and it's actually something you feel like you could follow. And then remember that planning isn't all or nothing. Break your day up into each meal and focus one at a time. Because here's the thing, like, you could seriously, it is about planning ahead of time, not just what you want in the moment. You could plan your breakfast, then get to work, and about an hour and a half before lunch, say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and make my decision now about lunch. You've decided, has anybody said they want to go out? Is anybody coming in to bring something? And start there. You can. It's just about making decisions ahead of time. We didn't say how far ahead of time. You can make them ahead of time. Let's see. I'm not seeing progress when I plan what I want. Yes. Remember that doable planning is also about following doable hunger, which is very true. Planning is just the first step. So you do want to plan, but remember there are basics. There are a rest of your four basics.
And I just want to reiterate on that thought of, like, I don't lose weight when I plan what I want, is to ask yourself a better question. What would make me want to stop at enough when I plan the foods I love? What do I need to tell myself that can help me feel safe to plan the foods that I love? And just practice stopping it enough with the foods that you love, because you can, they're not good or bad. You can have them anytime.
You can have them anytime you want. And then remember, to meet your non-food needs. If you need to go to bed, go to bed if you can. If you need connection, reach out to a friend. Like, make sure, because you alluded to it too, Lizzie, like, what kind of feeling do you think the food is going to give you?
Right.
And see if you can meet that in other ways, other than with food. Yeah, those are the notes that I have. I made it through all my notes.
Well, Muriel asked in the chat, how do I start to break the habit of just eating snacks that I'm not hungry for? The grab assing.
Yeah, I will tell you, for me, I was a grab asser from the way back. I've told this story so many times. I was grab assing. I started out with gum because for me, it was really unconscious. Like, it was not even a decision I was making. Like, I would walk by that, Maureen's desk at the nursing home, and she always had the, I was Maureen's best friend. And before I knew it, I was like a whole handful of jelly beans in. That was what she always used to have. But I started chewing gum a lot at first, just to kind of remind me I needed that, like, oh, I'm about to stick my hand in something. And then I was always a grab asser when I was cooking and cleaning up the kids' plates. And before I would know it, I'd be standing there. Like, it was really unconscious for me because I'd done it for so long. So I kept gum in my kitchen, and I chewed gum when I was cooking and when I was cleaning the dishes. And it was so, it made me more aware. And then once I was aware and I slowed myself down, it was easier for me to catch myself, because I still don't have to chew gum. But it was that, like, pattern interruption that I needed in order to just be aware of even what I was doing. Because I was like, I'd be like 3 bites in before I even caught myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I resonate with that. Like, sometimes I would find myself looking in the pantry and, like, not even remember getting up and standing and, like, opening the door to the pantry. It was just like, suddenly I'm like, what am I in the mood for? And I'm like, why am I here again? And one thing you can do, if that's you, is just start again, like, awareness itself. Like, you don't even have to change a single behavior. Just gaining awareness is a level up. So you could, like, keep a little sticky note on the wall next to the pantry and just do a little hash mark every time you find yourself, like, being like, what's speaking to me today? And like, oh, tally mark, tally mark. So first you're just counting up, like, no judgment. This is not about, like, you're good or bad. It's like awareness. How fascinating that I went as a pantry drive-by 7 times today. Once you do that, then you can begin to get curious. Wow, I did a pantry drive-by 7 times today. What was my brain looking for if I wasn't hungry? Because usually if you're in the pantry being like, what do I feel like right now? It's not because you're physically hungry. It's because your brain is either tired or bored, or you are asking yourself to do something that you don't want to do. You're lonely. You're basically looking to the food to address a feeling. And again, like, that awareness, just having a sticky note and, like, doing a hash mark can begin to help you sort of see, just as MJ was saying, it was unconscious. Oh, totally agree. And so you're bringing it out from your subconscious into your conscious so you can see it. And then you can begin to ask questions about it, about, like, what am I looking for that the pantry is probably, like, the answer is probably not in here.
Yeah. And I will tell you, if I'm like, we just did this new website. I had to work on that a lot because it was way out of my comfort zone.
MJ was like, course on that thing.
I don't even know what the hell I was doing, but so many times, like, the next thing I knew, I was either in my refrigerator or standing at my pantry. And it was just because I was like, did not know what to do next. It was something that was so far out of my wheelhouse. I was just uncomfortable with it. And so I really did. It's like, the only reason you're here right now is because you are not wanting to do this next thing. It's the only reason you're here. But I bet if you go in there and take your first step, it's going to not be as bad as you think. Plus, I used to always tell myself, I have people I can ask. If you don't know what to do, you've got somebody to ask. And that would give me a lot of, like, confidence, knowing that I was not, you know, sailing my ship, I could reach out if I needed to.
This is a little bit of a tangent, but you know, a lot of times when you're doing a pantry drive by, in that example, like you're doing work that is hard, and your brain is like, "This is hard, make it stop." I know food is fun.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of times, getting something to eat feels productive. You're like, I'm not allowed to take a break from work to take a nap or watch TV or play a video game on my phone, but I am allowed to take a break from work to go eat because eating is productive. Like, catch yourself in that thought and be like, actually, is eating productive in that, like, does my body need it? But also, like, could taking a legit break be a form of production, be a way that, like, I could refresh my brain, come back with new ideas, or at least be like, I at least have an idea of who I can ask for help, that, you know, redefine what productive means to you. If that's your situation where, like, you find yourself going to eat to avoid doing something hard mentally, ask yourself if you can redefine what productivity means. Cause sometimes rest is productive because it makes you better at the things you do after you've rested.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And then we have a few minutes, but someone did address in the chat, which I think is a really good point, because it does happen to a lot of folks. Like, her doctor has told her that she has to eliminate carbs and sugars. I think it's what it said, but it's gone now. How does this align with no BS? And so I worked in the healthcare field for 20 years. Just because your doctor said you have to eliminate carbs and sugar does not mean that you will, because I worked with so many of those folks. They made a suggestion to you. And now I want you to think about, are you going to follow that, you know, his recommendations or her recommendations? Is this something that's important to you? So maybe you become diabetic. I don't know. And you've decided that, yes, it is very important for me to do it. The truth of the matter is, carbs and sugar are still available to you. They're still, you can plan them if you want to, but you love your reasons for not planning them. It's the same thing if you've got celiac and gluten makes you poop your pants. All of those food, you can still eat bread every day if you want to, but you know the consequence is pooping your pants. So maybe in that moment, you're like, today is not a day I want to poop my pants. And so I shan't have bread. Or today is not a day that I want to deal with high blood sugars. So I'm not going to plan that. So you still have a lot of other things you can plan if you decide that you don't want to include certain things. And I used to always tell myself, like, I was diabetic whenever I was pregnant. So I did eliminate a lot. I lost weight when I was pregnant. And I used to ask myself, what do vegetarians say when they can't have meat? Because they can have meat, but a lot of them are doing it for reasons that they love. So I used to be like, if I was a vegetarian, what would I be saying to myself? Like, it's really important for me not to have those things. I have amazing reasons. They make my stomach feel really heavy. I don't like that. And I used to think about, because they never feel restricted. Like, they, you know, a lot of times if they did it for a conscious, like, you know, for an awareness kind of a thing, they don't really feel restricted. So I used to always ask myself, like, what would a vegetarian think about this, not having this food?
I love that point of, like, how would somebody think about this? Because, like, if your doctor has suggested no sugar, no carbs, that can feel very much like a diet, like some external authority figure is telling me outside of me, you shall do this. And it's like, that's never going to work. It's more like, why would I want to not have carbs today? Why would I want to reduce my sugar today? What would make me feel good? It reminds me, I have not been diabetic, but I, you know, used to have, like, love me some pizza, and I could put away some pizza, but I would just feel awful the next day. And I remember telling my husband one day, I was like, I think I need to break up with pizza. And he sort of gave me that look, like, with the eyebrow raise, like, yeah, good luck with that. And I tell you, like, it took me like 6 years, but very intentionally, I began, when we would be having pizza, I began to think about, like, what do I want? Well, A, I want the taste. I want the party in my mouth, but I also want to not feel super gross tomorrow. I want to not feel like I have a brick in my stomach. And that takes like 4 days to pass through. And so it just slowly, just ask myself the question of, what do I want and, you know, why? And I began, to a little bit like maybe I could have a salad with my pizza. Maybe I could have a salad first before the pizza. And then, over time, I just began to like just tune into like, what do I feel like? What do I want to feel like? And I still have pizza. But I choose it. I like my reasons. And I know I'm also choosing to feel like I have a brick in my stomach the next day. And sometimes I choose that. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. I love that so much. Yeah, it's like our whys for anything, whether your doctor said you can't have something or whatever, or you're choosing not to have something for a certain reason. That's why Corinne always talks about we need a good many whys.
Yeah.
We can keep pulling them out of your pocket and trying different ones on for different situations. And a lot of times when I was private coaching, they were like, my whys aren't strong enough because I still want it. And I used to tell my private clients, the whys job is not to turn the want off.
Mm-hmm.
The whys job is to turn the want down.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you want it on a scale of 1 to 10, you want it a 10, and then you pull out 3 or 4 of your whys and you're like, now it's a 5. Still want it, but I can have a conversation with it. It's not to turn it off. It is just to turn it down where it's manageable.
And one thing too, Corinne talks about the comfort zone, the growth zone, and the scared shitless zone. And I once heard her talk about that middle zone as the discomfort zone.
Yeah.
And that was really helpful to me. I've said this recently on a Facebook Live or something, but in the moment when you want pizza, but you also don't want to feel gross the next day, like it's discomfort. It's uncomfortable to want something and not have it. But for me, like when I just break it down into like a math equation of like, how much time am I going to sit feeling discomfort now, wanting pizza and not having it, versus how much time would I sit in discomfort tomorrow, regretting having that, seventh piece? Well, tomorrow's regret is a lot bigger, is a lot longer. That's more discomfort. And so it's like, I'm just choosing the lesser discomfort in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes, again, like that, just like going back to the beginning when MJ, you were talking about like you proactively planted the peppers, you had to nurture the garden. Like you've got to proactively think about which discomfort do I want? The little discomfort now or the bigger discomfort tomorrow? So you get to choose.
And I know like, now you look at coaches or you look at people who have lost all their weight and you think like, it must be so easy for them to follow their plan or it must be so easy for them to make the plan. And I'm just going to tell y'all, I still have to have conversations with myself. And I remember when I first started, I used to was like a pulling into McDonald's kind of a gal. And I would pass McDonald's every day on my way home and I would want it so bad. And I'd be like, you didn't plan it, but you can plan it tomorrow. It's okay. You've got food you love on your plan. And like literally for a long time and still some things today, the conversation is long. The conversation is back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But the difference is I'm willing to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just willing to have the conversation. I know that I want certain things. And sometimes I have them. Sometimes I make the decision to have them. But I am willing to fight for my goals. I am willing to advocate for the best version of me. I am willing to have the conversation. And if y'all are willing to have the conversation gets easier and easier over time. But in the beginning, your body isn't used to telling it no. Your brain is not used to no. Your brain is used to sounds good. Let's go. And so when you start to redirect and change the conversation, it takes time. Corinne always says the fifth basic is patience. And it is very, very true.
And I would say, I think each person's brain is different. You talk about you're willing to have the conversation. I wholeheartedly agree. And for me, the conversation revolved around like, stop shaming and blaming myself. Like that was a real work to just like let go of some of that negative self-talk and just begin to be like, I'm imperfect. I'm going to make mistakes, doing the best I can today.
Yes, and, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right, y'all. Hopefully we will see some of you at Queen of Your Life and Diet Detox. Thank y'all for entertaining us today. I appreciate y'all. Let us know if you need anything at all. And if you haven't already, go ahead and write your plan. If you are still struggling with planning, go into either Facebook or ask coaches and share one shitty thought about planning and how you want to pivot. And then maybe the coaches will come in and give you other suggestions as well. So have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. And if you're traveling, safe travels. And if we're going to join you on Zoom, here's praying for good internet. All right, y'all. Have a good day.
Thanks, everyone.